Hey modelers, welcome to the Model Geek Scale Modeling Podcast. Here we will be discussing anything and everything as it relates to the world of scale modeling. Before we start, we would like to take a moment and thank all of you listeners out there for your support. We would also like to thank our great sponsors for their support. Detail and Scale, Furball Aero Design, Tamiya USA, and Sprue Brothers. Please pay a visit to their websites and have a look at all their fine products. Now buckle up and ride along as we journey into the world of scale modeling. We really hope that you will download and make us a part of your modeling bench sessions. Now, here are the geeks, Darren Cook, Scott Samo, Andrew Frill, and Andrew White.
Hey, what's up, Model Geeks? This is Nemo coming at you with episode 38. And got three of the bestest model buddies out there. I got Darren. I got Whitey. Got Frill. And what's going on, guys? Here we are, episode 38, right before Nats.
Good to be here on a Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has been, it's been a rough week for me, so I'm happy to be doing this kind of get my mind off of work and start to get really thinking about what's coming up, not next week, but the week after. So by the time this drops, Nats is going to be right around the corner. So I don't know about you guys, but I would say I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm pretty jazzed about it.
Yep. Excited myself.
Heck yeah, man. Well, cool. We'll just kind of bust right into what you guys, I know we got Nats coming up, and I think a couple of us are frantically working on stuff to try to make a deadline. The other couple of us were good to go. So anyway, I'll start off with Darren. Darren, what you got, man? What you working on?
Hair on fire, man.
Hair on fire.
I'm one of those ones that's behind the eight ball trying to get this, scooter done for the group build. For Nats down to the wire.
Yeah, but you're cranking through that thing pretty good on the camo pattern. I mean, you posted some pictures and talking about your quote oopses, and we're all like, where? Well, I didn't see any, you know. I mean, it looked really, really nice. So what kind of airbrush are you spraying, and then what's your paint mixture, and what are you spraying? PSI and what are you doing?
Well, thanks for the compliment on the boogers, because there's boogers on it. I can promise you.
No, there's not. I didn't see any.
You said a while ago to the naked eye.
Yeah.
At 3 foot through a phone lens.
Yeah, that's all that matters. The old Mod 1 Mark 1 eyeball. If, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, if I pull out the old iPhone and put the zoom, I mean, You can find all kinds of stuff on anything, you know. I think I even found a mistake on Mark Schachter's model. I'm just kidding.
Madam Ding will find it.
Oh, she will. She'll make a mark for you. She'll be like, that looks like a perfect model. There goes your pedo. Anyway, sorry.
Anyhow.
Tell me about the A4.
It's all right. So airbrush, SOTAR 2020.
There you go.
Love it. That thing's a laser.
Yep.
It's worked real, real well with the lower pressure, probably around, 12 PSI, 10 PSI, somewhere in there.
Cool.
And then I'm using on this, the sand in the dark brown is MRP.
Okay.
And the forest green is actually SMS paint.
Okay.
I can't remember the FS color, but it was a match.
So you're just rolling with all lacquer.
Yep, stuff. All lacquer. And that, but you know how that stuff is already thinned? I thin it even more, just a little bit, because I'm finding that when you get real close,
yep,
in that low pressure and you're doing just small sprays, that lacquer still starts to spit.
Yeah. It's just, what are you thinning it with?
Mr. Color Level Thinner.
Yeah, okay, MLT. Cool. MLT. Got it. But
unicorn tears. It
there
works
you go.
With everything.
It really does. Really does.
But yeah, no, the lower pressure in that needle, that paint thin the way it is, it lets you get in real close.
Cool, man. Well, it's looking really sharp. Yeah, I wish you all the best for getting it done before Nats.
Well, stickers this weekend. So
there you go. So stickers already.
It'll get there. It'll get there.
Sweet. Okay. Cool, man. Anything else you're working on?
No, that's it.
That's it.
Nope. We got horse blinders on. I'm going straight at the.
Look at that, man. Squirrels are in the cages. Blinders. They're not being unruly.
That's right.
Rocking and rolling, man. They usually get in the cage pretty quick before Nats. They calm down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Except for the one you got on the old table.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man. Well, good luck. It's looking really good, and I can't wait to see it along with all the other 500,000 A4s, hopefully, that show up and dominate the NAPS group entry. All right. Whitey, what you got, man?
I'm in the same boat as Darren, trying to get this A4 done for the Nats. And I don't know. I'll get there, I think. I got the base colors down. I got to get a little more of the neutral gray or whatever that color is, the darker gray.
Got it, yeah.
I think it's medium gray.
Okay.
Is technically what it, or, you know, what it's commonly called.
It's a Brazilian standard line jet. It's what you're doing.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Okay, yep.
Cool.
So it's, I got the base colors now. I just got to, I got to darken it up a little bit, get the contrast going, tighten up the lines on the camo, boom, gloss it, decal it, flat coat, little post paint weathering, and I should have it done.
Sweet.
Oh, I'm looking good. What do we got? A week here? Something?
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, a little more than a week. So, I mean, that's, you all know, right. Plenty of time.
Or if you're listening now, you know, when this drops on the 15th, you know, we have
yeah.
a few days. I'm probably still in work on it right now on the come the 15th, getting the fiddly bits done, as they say.
Yeah. But I mean, you can crank through some stuff pretty quick. So, and it always looks good when you're done. You can never tell that you're like, you know, you finished it in like a week. You know, it always looks like you took your time. So all good, man. I can't wait to see it. I'm sure it's going to look awesome. Cool.
All right. Thanks.
Good deal. For real. What you got, man? What you working on? I think you already finished an A4, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I finished my A4M right after we announced that we were going to do an A4 group build for this Nats. And I was like, oh, man, I just finished one.
There you go. What you're done, though? I mean, like, yeah, all good. Cool, man. What else is on the bench? I think I've seen it just a bit.
Yeah. Well, before I get into that one, I had a commission build. I got supposed to do a P3 for a buddy of mine who used to be a flight engineer on him as well.
So, okay, cool.
Because I didn't want to start anything after finishing the MiG-23. So I went ahead and went clear off the shelf of doom. Well, it's not really shelf of doom, but that project had stalled. And so I got back on it and, got it all painted, doing the decals and for decals or stickers.
Man, stickers are getting on.
And these Hasegawa P3s, man, this kit reminded me why I haven't built one for myself. Because it's so long in the tooth and it needs to be replaced. Like, retool it or come out the 48 scale one, something. Because, like, even the decals are just, I mean, they're like 20, 25 years old. And so you're rolling the dice and there's really no aftermarket decals out there. And so I've been using a super scale sheet for like 1980s P3s that had like, so my buddy was in VP9. So I'm using some of those markings. The actual Buno number that he wanted was on that sheet, but VP56 had it. And so I'm using the Buno off that sheet and went ahead and I figured out how to make some masks on the Cricket. So I went ahead and, downloaded the Navy Long Beach or Norfolk font on from that DeFont website.
Cool.
Went ahead, did out the Buno number that I needed for the Modex on the nose and the tail, and printed them or cut them out on the Cricket and made masks for them.
Cool, man.
And so I airbrushed the, you know, those numbers were all painted on it.
Sweet.
And the Navy's as well. So I went ahead and did the Navy so I wouldn't have to worry about it. And then I started on the Tamiya P-38.
Uh-oh.
That I was gracious enough to be given the green light, you know, to build it.
Heck yeah. And
I'm going right along on it. I got the center fuselage and the wings are just about done. And then it's on to the booms. and then the gear, and they'll be ready for paint. So
cool, man. How's the fit been so far? I know lots of people have said that it's just, it's really, really nice. So, how's fit been for you?
It's amazing. I mean, it's Tamiya. Yeah. I mean, it just,
Tamiya.
You don't need it. Yeah. It just, everything clicks right in, and the panel lines that they did on it are on, like panel lines, the parts are. So as long as you get a good join, you don't have to worry about seam lines or sanding seams on it. And Tamiya even points out in the instructions on the P38 on the booms, past where the superchargers are, there, it's like a 109 that has the seam across the top and bottom.
Yeah.
So there's a seam that runs back there. And so the fit's just good. And you just put it together. You don't got to worry about filling the seam there or anything.
That's awesome. Well, that's a great thing about the Tamiya kits, that they just go together so well. The fits, I mean, you know, the recent ones I've done with the Tomcat and the F4, you know, they're engineered so well, and it's just genius that they put the actual part where the join line is, where a natural panel line would go. And it's just, it makes sure. And then the crazy part is they fit perfect, you know, a little bit of extra thin, boom.
And if there's one thing about Tamiya kit I wish they would change, would be the masking set that they provide you in their kits. I'm sorry, but I cannot cut these damn things out to save my life. I'm just like two thumbs when it comes to these.
Dude, you and everybody else, man. It's not just you.
So I went ahead.
I wonder why they don't pre-cut them.
No, I don't know.
We got to get there with George on that one.
George, well, get after it, buddy.
I know a guy who he could team with to cut these things out and get to them.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went ahead and scanned it, cut it out, and I made my own masks on Aura Mask, that 810 film.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and made two sets so I can mask the inside of my canopies.
There you go.
And they fit perfect. So,
sweet.
Yeah, so I got those so I can mask all my canopies. And so far, it's been an awesome build. I really have no complaints, really. Another thing, too, is I wish Tamiya provided you some cockpit stencils for the sidewalls and stuff. Because they were pretty prominent. So air scale to the rescue there. And I put some air scale cockpit placards around the inside. And I'm going to do it straight out. I'm going to add some seat belts. I was going to go the decal seat belt route, but I was looking at it and I was like, nah, I got to use regular. So I'm going to scratch build my own seat belts for it. And using the kit decals for Colonel McDonald's airplane, the Putt-Putt Maru. So
cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see it again. I'm so glad that they came out with the J. That's the one that, you know, I really dig the J with the big intakes, and it's cool. And like I said, good luck cranking through it. And looks like you're already busting through it pretty quick. And that's just because it fits really well.
Yeah, and like awesome. So now I'm on the superchargers, so I got to figure out how I want to paint them. I don't want to rust them up too bad, but I still want to add some rust to them. So I'm trying to think about how I'm going to paint those and then add that. And a while back, I was at Hobby Lobby, and I picked up this, what's it called? It is the Vallejo Rust Stain and Streaking thing. So
there you go.
And I'll put some of that across it and see how I can make it look.
Cool, man.
And just go from there, and that's it.
Good deal. Well, good luck. And I can't wait to see you and get it all done, man.
Oh, thanks, me too.
For me, I'm just, you know, I'm done with the SU-27. Hallelujah. It's, you know, a year and a half is how long it took. Now, granted, I wasn't working every single day on it, but it was just a lot of work. So, you know, and I had put up on the Facebook page about some of the things I thought were decent about it, some of the things I thought were really bad about it. But even though there's some good things about it, the bad outweigh the good. So, you know, I think that if you want to build an SU-27, then I would use the Great Wall Hobby kit or the Mini Base kit, or definitely the Hobby Boss kit over the Kitty Hawk. So, you know, I can't help but think about, there was a, and no time like the present to talk about this, but there was an article, that it was either a video or an article that I watched or read like last week from the guy who said he hates, maybe he didn't say hate, but he doesn't like Tamia Kitts. And
they're not getting my money, a dime of my money, he said.
Yeah, he'll never build one. And because his shtick was that, you know, because he wants to be, you know, he enjoys the challenge of building a model, and the Tamiya just, they fit too well. And you know, hey, I mean, to each his own. Me personally, I'll take a Tamiya kit over the year and a half of headache that I had with this Kitty Hawk build. I'll twist my arm. I'll take one for the team, and I'll be more than happy to build Tamiya kits for the rest of my life, because I don't have to sit there and just beat your head up against poor engineering and ill-fitting parts and 20 pounds of putty and horrible instructions. Yeah, how do you guys feel about, is that something? I think I don't know how you guys feel about that, but me, no. Uh-uh. Life's too short to build shitty kits, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, it's you know, let's just talk the Tomcat. I had a couple of Haskell Tomcats in the collection. When the Tamiya kits hit the street, those went to eBay. Because I was like, all right, I'm not gonna beat myself up with a Haskell kit when I can take that Tamiya kit and have a more pleasurable build. Of course, I already plan on taking a razor saw to it anyway and modifying it to a early A, but, you know, that's beside the point.
But even then, I bet that's not, you know, it's not a huge, huge ordeal where...
No, that'll be less of an ass pain than building the Hasegawa kit, with my self-induced labor. And I just saw a guy who did the same mod. He did a VF1 bird, and that's my plan. I want to do a first cruise VF1 bird. Yep. And he did a great job on it, and he used, you know... Mike's, phase hanger resins conversion. And so right away when I saw it on Facebook, I was like, hey man, give me the gouge on that. And he's like, no, man, you just follow the instructions, cut where it tells you, where Mike tells you, and it's going to fit right in there. Sure. A little bit of putty to smooth everything out. Yep. I think he said like a finger of like milliput or something like that. Real simple. And I was like, all right, that sounds good, man.
So. I know, and it's crazy when you think, we've built that to me a Tomcat, and it's fun to build because the pieces, you know, especially like the gun vent, when you glue it in there and you just run the Tamiya thin, thinking, you're like, man, this is going to suck. This is just going to be, nope, not at all, man. A little bit of glue, you cannot tell at all that's a separate piece. And that just makes me smile. I mean, so it's not like my favorite part about model building is painting. And this gentleman who was talking with his article said how much he hates painting and that's why he loves the construction aspect. I get what he was saying. I also raised the bullshit flag a little bit. I'm like, hey, you might be going for some likes there, you know, because how many, when you put a statement out about,
nothing's going to get you more traffic than that.
Yeah. So I'm like, come on, man. You know, I don't know. I'd say 99% of people, he's the first person I've ever said, I will never buy it. That's like, who's our favorite person that, you know, we're talking about Tamiya tape and how, you know, I've never used it and I never will. And I'm like, well, okay, well, you can frustrate yourself using masking tape or painter's tape and rip paint off because it's like 100 mile an hour tape. Or you can use Kabuki style or Tamiya tape where it's just like, you know, it's good stuff. So I always kind of giggle just a little bit when folks are, I mean, I get his point. I also just have to, I got to call him out on that one just a little bit. Cause I think it's, I'm just like, okay, man, you don't want to build a perfect fitting kit so that you can have a nice model where everything's aligned and it's, the engineering is just perfect and you can, the really hard fought thinking is done for you. And you still have to model though. You still have to, because I've seen people with a Tomcat to me, and I'm like, that's a Tamiya kit. Oh, did you lose the directions or something? You know what I mean? So you still got to put the effort in. You still have to sand. You still have to align things. And I don't know. Give me Tamiya all day over an ill fitting Lindbergh or.
Speaking of, I can't think of the manufacturer right now, but there's some resin landing gear out there now for that kit.
Yeah.
That are just freaking outstanding. I'd have to get on Facebook and find them. I'm sure someone out there listening has probably seen them too, man. But I'm real tempted to buy a set of them because they just look real. Yeah. 3D printed. I mean, the hydraulic lines are like perfect. Separate from the strut and everything.
Yeah, it's
man,
crazy.
They just look fantastic.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Tempting. Cool. Tempting. Well, good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, yeah. I'm all about a nice fitting, whether they're detail parts or kits or whatever. But anyway, back to just the Kitty Hawk kit, the SU-27. It's done. Pictures are out there. I'm happy that it's done, and I won't build another one. And I've got the Revell, the 48 scale, the EA-6A, been working on that. I might bust out the Trumpeter 32nd scale MiG-21. But I think for my next like project, when I open up the box, will probably be any something from Tamiya, or maybe, like I said, that Trumpeter, the 32nd scale Hornet, I might end up doing that. But all right, well, that wraps up what we're working on. Again, nice work, fellows. You guys have all been doing great work. And again, just we'll keep posting our stuff on our website. Or I'm sorry, on the Facebook page. And of course, we always welcome folks to keep posting stuff up there too. We love taking a look at everything. And it's awesome. Good deal. All right. Moving on to geek news, but before we do, I'd just like to get a great message from our proud sponsors over there, Rock Rozak and Burt Kinsey at Detail and Scale. So Darren, why don't you cue it up and let's hear what Rock's got to say.
Hey there, model geeks. Rock Rozak of Detail and Scale here, talking about the 14th volume in the Detail and Scale series, F-14 Tomcat in Detail and Scale, by Hagen Klaus. The book chronicles the origins, development, and production history of the Tomcat, and also gives a thorough overview of the operational history of the Swing Wing Fighter. Additionally, it provides a detailed look at the main Tomcat variants, the F-14A, F-14A+, F-14B, F-14B upgrade, and the ultimate F-14D. And speaking of details, the book follows all that with the hallmark of the Detail Scale series, the Tomcat Details chapter, with over 230 high-resolution color photos showing every aspect of the F-14, including its armament and external stores. All of this is followed by the comprehensive modeler section that looks at the F-14 kits available to the scale modeler. There is no better reference anywhere for modeling the F-14 Tomcat than this book. F-14 Tomcat in Detail and Scale sells for $12.99 in its digital editions, while the print book sells for $19.99. Visit our website at www.detailandscale.com for more information. And now, back to the Model Geeks Podcast.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Rock. Appreciate it. And thanks, Darren, for running that. All right. Moving on to old geek news. We've had quite a few meetings here lately for PaxCon. We'll talk PaxCon for just a little bit. We're still looking at the 7th of October, 2023, here in good old Hollywood, Maryland at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department. It's going to be an awesome show. Really would love everybody to come out and see us. And right now we've been working on practicing with getting the judging down, having some practice shows, you know, going all over the rules because we're doing gold, silver, bronze, which I'm super excited about. So recently we've had one of our club events, we had a sort of a mock, show session and a judging session. Whitey did a great job putting all the details together, going over the sort of the judging criteria. And we had a lot of, some folks were like, yep, got it, no problem. Other folks were still have lots of questions.
We got to get the committee together and really hash out. I mean, I tried to, I picked from several different clubs out there that do the gold, silver, bronze style of judging, and I requested their criteria and sifted through like about four or five different examples of the judging processes, and with this being our first show, I just pulled kept it simple, but then just keeping it simple is still going to create, you know, questions for those who haven't judged before, and even for those who haven't judged gold, silver, bronze, which to me, it's judging is judging. Boom.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that what you had, because, you know, we had gone over what you presented, and for I think all of us, we were like, that sounds good to us. Makes total sense. But
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to keep it simple. You know, we're not going to do a points thing and this and that, because that just complicates matters. It being our first show out of the box, I want it to be fun, for one thing. And I want the judging to be, we're not certainly not going to rush through it. Things are going to get looked at and quote unquote judged accordingly. But you know, we're not launching a space shuttle, man.
It's not rocket surgery, guys.
We'll nail it down. We'll get the questions answered but just some of the, again, first time judging training, was good to get the feedback of, okay, what do you mean by a casual viewing distance? What do you mean by a few discrepancies?
Exactly.
Roger that. Now you got my, that gets us thinking along the lines of, okay, we'll nail down that criteria even further, to erase any doubt in people's minds.
Yep.
And to give people a fair shake.
Yep.
I think too, what was kind of maybe like a barrier to the guys who were just learning how to judge was we asked people to bring in some models to be judged, and there was probably 35, 40 models.
Yeah, that was a lot
on the table that night. I mean, it was ridiculous. Many. Like there's a ton.
Yeah, I think that's, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I just think, a sensory overload there. They saw those models and it was too quick for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the next time we do it, we'll just bring in three. You know what I mean?
Well, we could do next night, do aircraft or tanks. Yeah. And then that way the whole meeting, the hour or whatever, is spent on,
I think that's a great idea,
how to judge tanks, armor, and cars.
Did you hear that?
And
Whitey?
Stuff
good
like that.
Yeah, man. That sounds like a good plan.
That's money. For real.
I'm an idea man.
You're an idea man. Well, that was a great idea.
That's in the can.
That's a great idea, man. I got to give you that. Okay, cool. Well, the good news is, I think we're making great progress. The venue really, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And there's going to be plenty of room for the vendors. There's plenty of room for the models. But the best part about the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department is it's 2 miles from each of our houses.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I was just there today too, voting. So
there you go. Cool.
Yeah,
man.
It's going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be good. It'll be good. Cool. Why don't we talk about some new kits and stuff on the street? So I've got a couple that I've noticed here recently. I'll pick on two of them and then I'll throw it over to you guys. But the two that I've seen that I'm probably most interested, one of them was that new Border 135th scale, the B5 into the Kate. I saw some pictures of that and I was like, ooh, that's pretty funky scale, but
yeah,
still
135.
I don't know, man.
Come on, guys.
I don't know.
They did the Stuka and the 109. I can kind of get that, there's so many German armor things out there and German figures and things like that, but let's not try to, I don't know why they're doing that. It's a fantastic looking kit.
It is. It is. Yeah, it was really cool.
I want it in 132 scale.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, golly.
Yeah. I guess they're just trying to fill maybe a niche and they think, maybe the 109 sold really well. So they're just going to try this out.
Yeah, who knows, man?
We'll see.
It's odd.
We'll see. Yep. But the other one that I thought, of course, in 132 scale. Now, we've known about this for a while, but they're finally starting to hit the shelves and be available, and that's that Border model, the Lancaster. I saw Sprue Brothers had it for pre-order, but then I saw them have it in stock. So, and they want $650 for it, which is a lot. I think, take a bet on how much we thought it was going to be? And I can't remember who won. Somebody got the closest, but I think it was it
wasn't me.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
I know so far the best price I've seen for it was Andy's Hobby HQ.
Yeah,
had it for an even $699.99.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But that's still, I mean, if you want a 30-second scale Lancaster, that'll be the and for all from what I understand, they are not once they've already done the run and that's it. So what's out there is that's it. That's all you're getting.
Oh, yeah? Well, I mean, God knows, I would love one. And it's a beautiful looking model. I love the Lancaster. It's you know, beautiful airplane.
Yeah,
the history behind it and everything else. I just can't justify the cost, I suppose. You know, it's, I mean, God knows, and I have more than $650 worth of models sitting on the shelves out in the garage. Yeah. But, you know, I could probably sell, you know, I don't know, 10 of them and make up that. But I'm not stroking a check for it, I don't guess.
That's a lot. I would
get it and I would build it. You know, I mean, I'm not sure where I put it. It'd probably hang in the TV room ceiling and collect dust.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it'd be cool.
I think I'm just going to rock back and, you know, throttle it all back to ground idle and stick with a 48 scale one, man.
Yeah.
That thing was single piloted too, man. There's only one pilot that flew that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, he had a nice qualified FE backing him up though. Yeah. And the FE did have stick time too, just in case old boy got incapacitated. The FEs did, I wouldn't say they were fully qualled or nothing like that, but definitely it was, you know, the Mosquito was the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, which I got to get back to you guys on a movie I just watched that was pretty decent about mosquitoes. I'll have to find the, discuss. I'll find it in my,
Gotcha. Got you. No, cool, man. Well, those are the real only, those are the two things that I saw. What else is, anybody else? Yeah, what are you guys seeing, Darren?
Nope. I was going to mention the Kate. I got it up on my screen right now.
Cool, man.
That was my pick.
I got some. Let's see, Barracuda Studios.
Oh,
he's got a. You know, we mentioned before he's coming out with A4K.
Yeah,
New Zealand Skyhawk stuff. So it's on the streets. He's got his the A4K conversion set. He's got pictures of that up on his page, and also And this goes for any Skyhawk in 30-second scale. The 300-gallon drop tanks and all this stuff's 3D printed. And also the intake and exhaust resin printed stuff. It all really just looks great, man.
Yeah, I'll have to jump on
that. That A4K stuff, though, it's got me pretty tempted to grab a 32-scale Skyhawk because that's just a cool-looking bird, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Furl, how about you, man? Anything?
I saw today that I know Jake Malampy over at Reed Air Productions was waiting on the instruction sheets to come for his Guard Sloughs, the A7 sheet in Air National Guard Service to start shipping. And he got those, I think, yesterday. And so those are going out. And I went ahead and I got Hagen's book on the F-14 that Detail and Scale just released.
Sweet.
And we need to get Hagen down here to do his spiel on the prototype Tomcats.
We need to get him on the show. That's what we need to do.
I would love to do a prototype Tomcat, and I'm kind of holding on to one of my Tamiya A's to do a prototype. It's just, I mean, his knowledge of the prototype airframes, because he's from right there on Long Island where they were, where Grumman had their plant. He was right there.
Cool.
And his research, I mean, wow, you can definitely tell he put some effort into this because it's just amazing. Like all the detail that he's got on it, and his knowledge of the prototype airframes is just through the roof. And that's what I've been kind of reading up on, taking notes, because like I said, I want to do a prototype F-14. So if you're looking for some references on your F-14, pick up the new Detail and Scale F-14 book. It's amazing.
Yeah. Hagen did that talk up there at Nova. One of those meetings on the F-14, and I was completely locked in. It was a really good spiel. He's got a lot of good resources and a lot of good stuff in that brief.
Cool. Yeah, we need to try to get him down to the club to give that brief, and then we need to get him on the show.
Agreed.
Yeah, that would be
Hagen,
good.
If you hear us, we need to get you on the show, buddy. So
is he going to Nats? Do we know? Is he going? I think he is, right?
I don't know if he is or not. No, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't.
He better.
Yeah, it'd be good to sit down with him out there.
Yeah, hopefully he can make it. Yeah, that'd be great. It's always good to see him. He's such a great guy and does fantastic work and his research and his, you know, the books and what he's contributing to Detail and Scale is just fantastic. It's just, you know, he's just a fantastic human being. So anyway, awesome. Thanks for all your hard work, Hagen. The model world is better for having you in it, for sure. So thanks. All right. Going to move on to shows and some contests here. I'm just going to kind of run through them. I'll just also put a plug that, you know, if you're wanting to know, because we're basically hitting in our area. So, you know, our particular region up here in the Northeast. And, but, you know, definitely if you want to find out where your latest and greatest schedule is for IPMS shows, you can just check the IPMS website for shows in your area. And definitely get out and go to a show. It's a great experience. Of course, we're going to talk more later about the mother of all model shows here in the States, which is National. So we'll talk more about that later. But as far as some of the local shows that we have coming up for the rest of the year, we've got the Virginia Shootout there in Salem, Virginia. That's the 7th of August. Also got Penn Con coming up. That's in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that's on the 10th of September. Of course, Marauder Con and Havre de Grace here in Maryland. That's on the 22nd of October. And then, of course, we got Nats coming up the 20th through the 23rd of July there in Omaha. So please try and get out, get to a show. And if you need a list of shows, just you can get on the IPMS website and check them out. All right. Well, that's about it for any geek news. Is there any anything else you guys wanted to hit on that I might have missed?
Yeah, man, I got something.
Yeah, go ahead, Whitey.
Okay, I just found the title of that movie I just watched. It's on Netflix. It's called The Bombardment, and it's a Dutch film. Originally, the name was The Shadow in My Eye, and however you say that in the Dutch language, I don't know, but they renamed it The Bombardment on Netflix just to keep it simple, I guess, or to avoid confusion with some other movie. But it was really good. It's based on a true story about a RAF, you know, like you said, mosquitoes that planned this raid to bomb a Gestapo headquarters centered right in the middle of town. And
oh, wow. That's got to be good.
You know, not to give too much away or anything like that, but the bottom line is they accidentally bombed a school next to it. And a lot of children and nuns got killed, and very sad. But the movie itself was done pretty well. Like the flying scenes even were, you know, it's CGI stuff, but it looks really good.
Sweet, man.
Anyway, there you go. Awesome. There's a movie plug for you.
Cool. Well, awesome, man. Well, you know, I think that, you know, I've got, anytime I'm building, I've typically got some type of, you know, a war movie on or a flying movie on or something, you know, some type of a research movie or something interesting, I'll throw on the old tube. I'll have to check that one out. That sounds pretty good. So thanks for dropping that, man. It's awesome. Cool. All right. Let's move on just real quick. Darren, why don't you drop us a line and tell us about our old Geeks Patreon page?
Absolutely. You got it, Nemo. We, the Geeks, would like to thank all of you, the listeners, for your continued support. We would also like to ask that if you enjoy listening to the show and would like to further support us in our endeavor to promote the scale modeling hobby, then please take a moment and head over to our Model Geeks Patreon page. There you can donate anything from $1 on up, and every penny goes to help offset our production costs. If Patreon isn't your cup of tea, then you can make a one-time donation by visiting our PayPal Me page. This can be done by simply clicking the heart icon at the top right corner of our homepage, and that will take you directly to our PayPal Me page. Please note, donations are not in any way a requirement. We will continue to work hard to deliver the best scale modeling content that we can. So, once again, I'd like to say thank you to you all for downloading and listening.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Darren. All right, we do have a couple of hobby shop shout outs. So I've got two from folks that you know, just wrote in and said, hey, I got a couple of hobby shops. So a couple of them are, one of them's in Minot, North Dakota, the Aeroport Hobby Shop. So if you're in Minot, head there and check them out. And then we've also got B&B Hobbies in Spokane, Washington. So those are both come highly recommended. So if you're in those Spokane or the Minot areas, definitely go check them out. And then Whitey, you had one as well. What was your other?
Yeah, man. Something closer to our neck of the woods here is over in, Staunton, Virginia. Frontline Model Kits and Hobbies. Formerly known as Jack's Model Kits. It's now under new ownership by a fellow named Christian Vames. He's worked there. He's no stranger to the hobby. He actually worked in the place while it was Jack's. And I guess Jack was going to retire, so Christian bought the location, bought the store, and it's now under his ownership. And, you know, looking at his Facebook page, it looks like a pretty well-stocked shop. And it's located right there in the downtown area of Staunton, Virginia. And if any of you know, I've been out that way before, Staunton in particular. We go out to Shenandoah now and again. Yeah. Great little area, great little downtown area, great restaurants and shops all up and down the street there. It's located right on West Beverly Street. And, you know, Staunton, Virginia is located. I mean, you can't miss it. If you're coming down I-81, I-64 interchange, yep, right there. In fact, when we head out to Roanoke, we'll have to take a little detour off the highway real quick because it's right there,
man,
next to that. You know, where you bang a left to head to Roanoke, we'll pull into Staunton and check it out.
You know, we go skiing. There's a couple of ski resorts up that way. There's Massanutten, and I think Wintergreen is up kind of that direction. Even when we're heading to like Snowshoe, we swing by it. So now I've got another excuse. I'll be like, hey, honey, let's go skiing. But really, don't tell her it's because I want to go to the hobby shop.
There you go. Again, Frontline Model Kits and Hobbies, Staunton, awesome, Virginia. Check it out.
Cool. Yeah. And Aeroport Hobby Shop in Minot, North Dakota, and B&B Hobbies in Spokane, Washington. So thanks everybody for writing in, and keep the hobby shop shout outs coming. It's you know, I don't care where it is, anywhere in the world, we're happy to plug any hobby shop. It's just you know, I hate that a lot of the hobby shops have just kind of closed, and you know, the couple that were close to us here in DC, and we just really miss them. So anytime we can give a plug for the hobby shops, we're happy to do so. All right, moving on to a tool and tip for this particular episode, and this is a really simple one. It's something that I used on the SU-27. This is it's so simple, it's just kind of ridiculous how simple it is. So everybody has, they've been able to see those Testers white handled brushes with the black bristles. Well, I don't know if they're exactly bristles. I mean, they are, but they're not really brushes. So, but I have found a use for those. And the answer is they make great static wicks. And the reason why they're freaking awesome is because the bristles are black and they're plastic. So just, you can cut them off, drill out the end of the wingtip and, or your trailing edge or wherever it is. And just a little dab of super glue. Boop. There you go. Let it dry. And, the great thing about those bristles is that they're flexible. So you can, rather than some of the photo etch stuff that tends to ping off, Madam Ding, she'll ding those off for you real quick. Or, you know, but these are just, I used them on the SU-27. That's what I used, is the old Testers white handle brushes with the black bristles. And they work well.
And two, after you cut the bristles off, you have a paint stir or whatever you want. You can use the handle to stir paint or whatever else with, which is what I've done with this one. I've done the same exact thing.
There you go.
Cut the bristles off and then stir shit.
There you go. So I'll
stir the shit.
Yeah, because a lot of times, I mean, if you want to use the metal static wicks, they do look cool. I just get nervous about, you know, them flying off and catching them with your shirt or a finger or whatever. And that's what's great about those little plastic suckers, yeah. Man. They just
another good resource for those is kids' toothbrushes.
Oh, you bet.
You know, because they make those in all sorts of goofy, weird colors too. So, yeah. Like, I'm thinking like some of the Russian jets, you see orange static wicks. And, you know, so there you go. Well, God knows, if you could find some with black with yellow tips, you'd be gold, man.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like F-16 city right there, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. And and it's just, for me, it's the best. Just, you know, you drill a little hole. Pop the bristle in there, let it glue, you know, dry with super glue, and you don't have to worry. Even if you touch it, it's...
Yeah, and like you say, you can ding them, you can bump them, and they're not going to snap. Nope. And also, some of the longer ones, like I used some toothbrush ones on my cod, and on the cod, they're not like jet fighter static wicks. They're really floppy, kind of.
Yeah.
So you could... You know, it was easy to take them and put a little bend in them and then cut them to length, you know, so you have like some droop to them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think some of the World War II aircraft have static wicks too. You know, I'm trying to think, jet aircraft, mostly they have the solid, like, you know, the ones that are pretty stiff and, you know, so they stay straight for the most part. But when I did the cod, I was like, oh man, how am I going to do these? And found a nice long, you know, a toothbrush with some long enough bristles to where I could make a bend in them.
Sure.
You know, and have a little curve to them. So it worked out great.
That's what I used. I can't remember, you know, for antennas for like, you know, 72nd and 48 scale props, just like a whip antenna on the upper spine, they'll work really well too. And again, the great thing is that, you know, if you ding it, it bends. It's not going to break off. So it's just, that's cool, man. Yeah. Well, there's our little, tool and tip for this particular episode. Again, old testers, white handle brushes, there is a use for them. Cool. All right. Moving right along. Let's jump right into everybody's favorite.
Mail call.
Before we get started, again, just a thank you. The mailbag was huge. It was really full this week. So I apologize if I don't spend a large amount of time on every single email. But again, I just wanted to thank everybody for writing in, and because we do read all of the email, we'll do our best to respond back to you. I know that, you know, all of us are working, so if we don't get back to you really quickly, then you know, apologies for that, but we'll certainly get back and answer your email. And we do appreciate the emails and the support. But we'll start off with our buddy Brent Leidig. Brent, thanks for sending us the email. You know, he's had he was just talking about helping get the mojo back, and you know, we've talked about that before and how much he appreciates and likes listening to us. And I gotta say, Brent, when we get emails like the one that you sent, and it just, you know, we really love folks out there like yourself that are really understanding kind of what we're trying to do, and to hear that we can provide some inspiration and help you get through the day and keep the mojo going. That means more to us than anything. And that's why we do this. We do this show for folks like yourself and the rest of the geeks out there. And it means the world to us for you to take the time and write us. And we're so super happy to be able to help you out and hope you get through the day. And again, thanks for writing in, buddy. Appreciate it. Got another email from our buddy Paul Wheeler. So Paul had asked about the A4 entries. And so, of course, we've got our group entry at Nats. So make sure and just bring your A4. I'm going to be the one that's going to enter the A4 group build. So my name I'll enter it on my entry sheet. Once I enter it, then I'll have the category number and the name and all that good stuff, so that you guys can put it on, you know, if you need to put it on your list of models that you're bringing. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I'll find out more information when I get to Nats, and I'll let everybody know. Maybe put it up on our Facebook page about how exactly the group entry is going to go. Phil, what you got, man?
I was looking, because I started doing my, because my models are already packed and everything, so I started working on my entry forms. And on your master entry form, you can go ahead and fill it out, because your registration number is just your IPMS number dash entry number one dash entry number two, three, four, and so on.
Cool.
So you can probably go ahead, and when you fill out your form, you can figure it out now, and you'll be able to tell them what the entry number is. Good, I was just looking at the IPMS form.
Okay.
And it's completely fillable online too. And cool. It's a good PDF where all the fields are all lined up and it looks good.
Well, you guys are all on the ball and I'm not, because I haven't registered for Nats. So John, don't hold it against me. Don't beat me whenever you see me, but yeah, I'll have to register whenever I get there. But yeah, for real, thanks for that info. That's awesome. And if you guys got any questions about that, you can just hit us up, but, bring them, man, bring the A4s, and, it'll be exciting to see how many we can get. But again, Paul, thanks for the email. Got another email from Ryan Witt. Really loves the show. In fact, he loves it so much he's, quote, obsessed with the show, which is awesome to hear. So it makes us super excited whenever we hear folks actually really like the show. And he had a great question just talking about, you know, whenever you're working on the model and you're painting and you're doing all the detail work, how do you hold it, or how do you use a third hand or any type of a vise or anything? And for me, I use the good old freaking fingers, the hand, and I have a white glove that I use. Phil likes to use a blow up latex glove. That's his preferred method. I think you use a white glove too, just the cotton kind of glove.
I use while I'm building, I'm barehanded it, man. Yeah. I almost said something else, but I won't. It's not until I get to the painting stage that once I put paint on the thing, now I'm going to handle it with either, like I said, those white cotton gloves you can get from like Micromark Tools, yeah. I think. And that's usually just where I buy them. I'm sure you can get them on Amazon for probably cheaper. Which I'll do next time. I'm thinking about it. But then from there, like nitrile gloves. I love the nitrile gloves. I buy extra large ones so that they're not really strangling my fingers.
Yeah.
And then that way you can actually, like, and I seen some guys talking about this on Facebook the other day about, you know, he was concerned about the environment and not wanting to have to change gloves every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you buy them a little big, you can slip them off, lay them aside and use them again. And a box will last forever, you know. And right now, nitrile gloves about tripled in price after COVID. Wow. I used to get them at what's that store? BJ's for like $10 a box for a box of 200. I was in there the other day; they had a box of 100 for $30.
Wow! I was like,
get out!
Yeah,
of here.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
you can wash them too. I use mine.
Yeah, sure,
wash them. Yep.
Yeah, but the only thing that kind of worries me with the cotton gloves is, though, your hands will slip on your model. So if you're not careful, you go to grab it, it could slip, right? You know, you go to grab it and it slip right out of your hand and fall on the floor. So
that is true.
Take
that's
a coarse, true. Coarse sand and stick and rough them up a little bit, because brand new right out of the bag, they're slick. Yeah. But if you take a sand and stick and just kind of rub the fingers with them, it'll rough them up enough to where it lessens that. Go ahead, dude.
I was just say I agree. Like, as soon as the paint goes on, the white gloves go on. So because the oil from your fingers can, you know, it, especially when you're spraying just standard acrylic paint, you know, or Gunzi, like the aqueous, it's just really soft, and so the oils from your finger can leave fingerprints
easily.
Throw on the gloves and the white gloves or latex gloves and. Good to go.
Going back to his question, there are stands out there, several different manufacturers of stands. Darren, I believe you have a couple, or Frill as well. Frildo, do you got one of those desktop stands?
I don't know. What I have used in the past is foam. like packing. Yep. You can get foam, and I'll cut, like, if you get two kind of big, square or rectangular pieces, you can cut a little notch out, and you can set it on that.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
That's what I've been using lately too. It's just, this is that pick apart, pick and form foam. It's on Amazon. They sell it by the sheets. It's fairly cheap. But I had a couple of them around it for packing stuff.
You know, I get what the guy's
Keep that on my desk.
You know, he talks about decal, and you know, I know sometimes you want the airplane out of, I'm saying airplane, I assume is an airplane builder, but just any model, you know, a NASCAR model with all that decaling on the side, I would want the thing at either not a 90 degree angle. I think that would be too extreme, but if you could set it somewhere 45 degree angle, right? So what works great there? Either a piece of foam like you just had, or even like we all use old t-shirts as a cushion. You just roll that t-shirt, man. Roll that t-shirt or fold it to where that the model can sit at an angle on it, and it's soft. It's not going to scratch the paint. Boom, there you go. You know, and it's going to hold, you know, it's not slick, so it's not going to slip around while you're putting a decal on the side of it and everything. So, you know,
that is a great point. I didn't even think about that, but I have a whole drawer full of t-shirts. And so if I need to rig like a jig to hold it a certain way, I'll just whip out the t-shirts, stack them up, do whatever I need to do, and it'll hold it. But that's a great tip. That's a great point. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. And I know there are jigs out there that you can like move this. There's, you know, it's like a four way where you can, you know, I think Justin's got one. I don't know the manufacturer, but they seem to work really well. They're padded and you can flip them over. But I mean, I just have my own. We all have our little tried and true methods. My t-shirts work. So that's just what I do. You know, it's, or my, I use think my
for
hands.
Me personally, with the height of my workbench and my seat and everything, I'm comfortable where I'm at. And then if I added that stand, it's just going to take it up another 6 inches to where it's going to be out of my, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've been tempted to buy one and try it out. Maybe out at Nats, I'm sure there'll be somebody selling them.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at them to see if it's something that's useful to me. You know, if it's useful to me, then great.
The one I've got is from Masterpiece Models, John Geigel up there in up in the northern Pacific. I forget what town he says. It's Seattle? Oregon? I can't remember. Anyhow, John Geigel up at Masterpiece Models has those stands.
He's got a site, I'm sure.
Yeah, yep, sure does. Masterpiecemodels.com, I believe it is. I'll put a link in the show notes, and I'll tag their Facebook page on ours.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for all the input, guys, again. And thanks, Ryan, for your email. Appreciate it. The next email is from Ken Becker. He's really digging the detail and scale books, and he's using it on his, he's building a 48 scale F8 Crusader, and it's a monogram kit, and he's really loving using that detail and scale. I mean, we rave about the detail and scale books because they're just, how can you have a modeling library without them? I mean, it's just, you gotta have, those books are just, you know, the detail pictures, the reference material, the modeler section in the back, you know, it's something we've always, it's just, you know, Bert and Rock just, they have a tried and true formula, and it really, really works. And their new stuff is just unreal with, you know, lots of color pictures. They're a lot more material, so a lot thicker, and they're awesome. I concur. Like, those detail and scale books are just, you know, again, we got tons of them. Tons of them.
I like the fact too, like, I like print and digital, but the digital ones are awesome because you know, most of us travel for work, or you go on a family vacation or something, and you're in the middle of a project, and you can download them electronically via, you know, if you have a Kindle through Amazon or Apple iBooks. And you can take it with you on the road, and you're just taking your iPad with you and not, you know, a bunch of books that you got to worry about getting messed up or something. If something were to happen, you can just have your iPod or your iPad or your phone, and you can sit there and do your research while you're waiting at the doctor's office or wherever you're at. You have it right there at your fingertips. So that's always good. You can carry your collection with you wherever you go.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, for me, I'm a, I haven't quite bit off on the electronic, you know, kind of media. But that's because I got all the books, you know. So, however, like Phil brings up a great point, which is, but when I'm traveling, if I'm trying to do research, whether it's on the plane or wherever, at a conference that I don't really want to be paying attention to, so I want to whip. I'm just kidding, but like Whitey said the last episode, like I don't see any of my coworkers listening to this, but I'm kidding. I mean, I believe me, I pay attention to work when I'm at work, but no, it's when you're on the road and you're, you know, whatever, like I go with the wife and the family to the mall or whatever, and they're going to go try on clothes. Yeah. That would be a really nice place to be able to do some research on whatever model that I'm, cause I'm always thinking about, okay, what about this? Or if it's a next kid or whatever. So yeah, I think, having electronic media along with the paper stuff is from Detail and Scale is just money. And I highly, highly, highly recommend, both the electronic version and, the paper. Awesome. Ken, thanks again for the email. Appreciate it and appreciate the support. Got another email from George Avila. Again, thanks, George, for writing in. You'd asked about aftermarket, and I think that my answer that I give now is different than I would give you 20 years ago. So now my answer is no. I may put an injection seat and maybe some wheels, and that would be it. Unless you're doing like a conversion, but I would say just stick what's in the kit. And for, if it's an aircraft, I'm putting in an injection seat, maybe some wheels, and that's it. I'm not doing anything. And I stay away from PE. I absolutely stay. That's just me, except it for seatbelts. And even then I might use, whether it's either use some Milliput to make some or use some, you know, some spare photo etch laying around. But for the most part, that's all I'm ever really, putting in. What is your thoughts on aftermarket?
You know,
go
ahead, man.
We've discussed this before. I'm in the same camp as far as, a seat and some wheels. For me, sometimes I like to convert stuff to something else. So then that's when I'll jump in. Or I will say, like right now, you know, I have this FJ2 Fury over here from Kitty Hawk, and with the 3D printing stuff that's out there nowadays, you know, I have all the hypersonic stuff that goes with this kit. And you know, for that particular kit, I love that era of naval aviation. So when that kit hit the streets, I was like, man, okay, it's Kitty Hawk. It looks okay. But then when Jeff Kubiak from Hypersonic come out with his items, God knows I'm going to get those, because yeah, it's just a step up. It makes, you know, and Jeff is good. First of all, his stuff fits, you know, and, and his, it's easy to, apply to the install or, attach, yeah, however you want to phrase it. You know, so, and it's not something like I think Dave from, the Model Mojo, he talked once before about how sometimes there's aftermarket stuff that comes out that is not an improvement over the kit, but people That's buy right. it because it's like, oh, wow, it's aftermarket, you yeah. know. But Jeff, whenever he does something, it's an improvement over what the kit offers. And so when it came to his Fury sets, I was like, yeah, I'm getting those for that particular. So to use Darren's phrase, you know, it depends. But, you know, right now there's a ton of stuff out there for the Tamiya Tomcat.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go buy a bunch of stuff for the Tamiya Tomcat. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to put an Ares cockpit in the Tamiya Tomcat. Doesn't yeah. need it. I may look at some seats, depending on if I use the pilot figures or not. If I use the pilot figures, I won't bother. But that's what it comes down to, you know. So, you know, nowadays with the internet, you can get a good look at what aftermarket items are available, and you can go, will that improve the thing? Probably not. You know, I will say that too, though, 3D printing is, I think, you know, photo etch, you mentioned, not a fan of the stuff either. And a lot of stuff now is being, that used to be done in photo etch, is being done in 3D printing.
Yeah, thank goodness.
It looks way better. It's easier to work with, you know, so, but back in the 90s, I can remember feeling like I wouldn't even start a kit until I had everything
Yeah.
Everything that was out there for, you know. And,
yeah. You know, and as you get a little older and you have less time, you're like, why am I messing with this? Like, there's nothing wrong with the kit exhaust. It looks, I spray it.
Or it was like, you know, I'm gonna open up all these panels. Like Blackbox makes some really fantastic open panel accessories.
No thanks.
But for me, that's just not. It depends on what I'm building it for, too. Yeah. If I gonna put it in a? Do I want to display it with that stuff open, or am I just buying that stuff just because it's available?
Yep.
Yeah. You know. So it obviously, like anything else, comes down to personal choice. But I don't feel like anymore that I need to. You know, I'm good with a seat and wheels. I think right there. You know, and then you can even say a seat. You know, how often does those cockpits get looked at? You know.
We were just talking about that, you know. I mean, I think about it. I'm like, I think I look for about a second and go, well, I either go, that looks good, or I go, well, that looks like shit.
You know, but
that's it.
The inverse of that is if you really put a crappy seat in there, though, I bet that'll stick out like a turd in a punch bowl.
There you go.
You know,
probably so. Yeah.
So I don't know. To get back to his email, I mean, just to keep it simple, I mean, most of us, you know, we go with the seat and wheels, man. Yeah. Beyond that, you know, if it's something I'm going to convert or something I want to, I'm going to put this on a base like it's sitting on a carrier deck getting serviced. So I'm going to have these panels open. Then roger that. You know, the stuff's out there. Grab it. You know, and the stuff nowadays does fit a lot better than the older resin kits from the 90s and stuff, you know.
Yeah, some of the True Detail stuff, you'd have some that were winners and they fit really well, and then you'd have some that you're like, I'm going to need a crowbar.
And
some serious grinder to get that stuff to fit, you know. And you'd have to thin the sidewalls of the kit so thin that most of the time, if you don't have I don't know what the name of the damn device is that slows the speed down of the Dremel,
you'll
just burn right through
the
side. Rheostat, So, it's definitely, I put a seat in it and some wheels maybe, and that's it. Moving on.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Leave the panels closed. Keep those smooth lines.
There you go. Cool. And then the last part of his email he was asking about, whenever we have our the demo at Nats for painting modern Navy TPS schemes. We'll look into that. If we can do a live, I think that's something we'd like to do. I just can't make any promises, but we'll certainly look into it and see if we can get a live going so that folks that couldn't make Nats will be able to see it. I mean, I'd love to do it. So George, we'll certainly look into it. And again, thank you for the email, and thanks for your comments. And don't go crazy with the cheese whiz with the aftermarket. All right.
Real quick before we move on from George's email, another thing too, don't waste your money on are wheel wells, like the Ares wheel wells that are out there, because
sounds like you speak from experience.
Yeah, the only time that I've ever used Ares wheel wells was on the MiG-23 because they're from the side. You know, they open from the side so you can see it. So that right there would be, and they fit good.
Yeah.
But I've heard horror stories of guys buying wheel wells for a Super Hornet, and they go through the ass pain of cutting all that stuff out, and then the wheel wells are a whole millimeter or two short. And so now they're like, oh, crap, now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And unless you're going to keep it on a mirror, even then, you know, the kit ones are fine. It's not hard to take some different size solder and a drill bit and drill holes and run different piping and stuff in a wheel well, because that's pretty much all that's in there. It's a bunch of hydraulic lines and crap. And save yourself the ass pain of not doing wheel wells.
Yep. So I've built several of those Hasegawa F-16s. F-16's got a super complex just plumbing, and it's so cool to look at. Guess what? The Hasegawa kit is very bland, and I haven't put one aftermarket wheel well set in any of my Hasegawa F-16s, and they look great. I think they look great, you know, and you just paint it up, you dry brush it, do a little shading, maybe put a couple of pieces of sprue, you know, paint it up. boom, done. And but yeah, some guys, they just like put every single piece of aftermarket they could possibly. And hey, if that's your thing, then by all means, do it. But for us, nah, put a seat, well, maybe some wheels.
That's I'm the seat and wheels guy too, but when I did the tracker, I wanted to do, that's I wanted different. To fix everything.
That's and different.
And the only thing I didn't really use, I didn't use was the fuselage correction because I had to, I cut the fuselage halves on my
original. Okay, so George, don't listen to Frill and just listen to me and Whitey. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now that was different. You put your heart and soul into that. I mean, that's your one, like we all have the one big project where we went ahead, we had a certain look that we wanted, and so we put a whole bunch of stuff in. I think that's okay, but I mean, I think across the, you know, overall, we all just for the most part just try to put maybe a seat or some wheels. Okay,
keeping it simple.
Cool, man. Cool. All right, again, thanks George, appreciate your email. And we've also got one from Christian Van Winkle. Christian, thanks for the email. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's always nice to know that we're doing something that is able to inspire somebody. I think that, you know, that's, again, I said it before, but that's why we do this show. We do this show for you guys. So again, I'm really happy, and it absolutely makes our day when we get emails like yours, because it's very humbling, and we're very honored that you know, we've had that much of an impact with you. And please keep listening and keep writing. Appreciate it. And you asked a pretty good question. You asked, what was our favorite non-US or non-Soviet aircraft model? I'll go first. And I was going to say, if I had to only pick one, so I can't pick a US or a Russian aircraft, because, you know, that's what I'm thinking about, an aircraft. If I had to pick one, which is my favorite, I would probably have to say the British Jaguar would be my favorite. Yep, that's it. Okay, yeah, the Jaguar. That'd be my favorite. Darren.
Oh,
let's see you.
That's a good question. It's not one I've ever... I've given much thought to. There's a bunch of cool ones.
Do you want to pass and I'll go to Whitey?
No. Okay, let me think about that for a second. Are we talking property? Probably the Lancaster. We were talking about it earlier.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Lovely.
It'd be that one or the Mosquito. I like the Mosquito too.
Okay. Wow. No. Cool.
Two good ones.
There you go. All right. Whitey, what say you?
Now, is the question just any aircraft or is it model?
It's just, what's your favorite non-U.S. or Soviet, I think it was aircraft. Here,
non-U.S. or Soviet aircraft. Man.
It's a hard one. There's a bunch.
It's a hard one.
I mean, you go jets.
Automatically, my head goes to British stuff just because of that.
Yeah.
But then there's other really cool aircraft that are from other countries, like the Mirage series of jets is just freaking cool.
Well, yeah. So he says, the only question I would have for you guys is, what would be your favorite non-US or non-Soviet / Russian made aircraft of any era?
Oh, man. All right. So if I had to pick one, God bless. I'm going to go with the Spitfire. It's just a beautiful airplane.
Oh, you know, good choice.
Good Lord. You know,
that's,
I mean,
a good one.
You know.
Oh. Which one, though? Which mark?
A real Spitfire, something without a Griffin one, right? Engine. Oh. Rolls Royce Merlin. What is it? What's the one that Eduard just came out with? The Mark?
The Mark 9 or the Mark? Yeah.
I don't know. I always get my Roman numerals screwed up. Mark 5? The Mark 5 is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's the one with the 4-blade prop, right?
It's I think it's a 3. The Mark 5 is a 3-bladed. It's the Mark 9's got the 4-bladed prop.
Okay. Yeah. Mach 9, I'm thinking then. That's the one that's down at the Military Aviation Museum.
Yeah, that's like the classic looking.
Yeah. Ah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good choice. Good choice. Good choice. I think if I'm thinking World War II, I'd...
You made your pick. That's a shush.
All right. Be quiet, Scott. All right, for real. Let's say you...
Probably the KI-84.
Really?
Yeah, because that thing, I built the Hasegawa 32 scale one a while back, and that's just a cool looking airplane. It looks rugged as hell. It's like a Japanese P-47. And the P-47 being my favorite non-Navy aircraft, Navy World War II airplane.
Dude, thing looks nothing like a P-47. It looks more like a 109. It's little, too. KIA-84. Dumbass me.
Big radial engine.
The KIA-84, not the... that looks like a T-9. I guess it kind of looks like a P-47.
Yeah,
because that was my choice for the club build in 72 scale for the...
That does look like a P-47. All right, I'm just going to shut up. Somebody else want to take the show? I'm a moron. Sorry. I was thinking that... What's
it's
that
got
Hein?
That weird little tail
what's
on
the
it,
the
Hein
one?
It does.
I wonder what taking off on that thing on a grass strip was... Well, it's got a wide landing gear, so he's got that going for him. But yeah, that rudder authority doesn't take control very soon, I'm sure.
Nope.
What was it? What's the Hein? What is that one?
The Hein?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, you mean the KI-61?
Oh, the Tony, you mean.
Yeah.
KI-61,
Is it 61? That's the one I was thinking. It's like, that uses a 109? I think it uses a 109.
Was it a 109 engine or a copy of it?
Yeah, it's like probably a copy, something like that. I'm showing my poor knowledge here on freaking World War II stuff because I mostly build modern, so...
I know what you're saying. Right. You know, it's got the exhaust down low like a 109 does. Yeah. So that's what I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a KI-61, right? That's the standby.
5 hours later.
Yeah. It's the Tony. Well, I got to look through all that crap back there. Yeah. It's the Tony. The Heinen, or what it's called. The Heinen. The Tony.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Sorry. Open mouth, insert foot.
All right. So that wasn't your pick. The Frank is the pick, though.
Right, yeah, the Frank.
Got it. That does look like a P-47.
What's that other weird Japanese one? The Tojo? It's got like them stubby wings on it.
That one's cool, though. That's the Tojo's, the KI-44. So? Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Man, I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
KI-43, the Hayabusa, is cool, too, Oscar.
The thing that kills me for Japanese stuff is the landing gear. They just look stupid. They look like short and stubby, and they're just dumb looking, you know? They just look weird. I don't think they're not elegant looking.
The Raiden was kind of stubby.
Oh, man. That one looks like a P-47. Like an old Razorback.
All right, cool. So I guess we've all got our favorite non-US and non-Soviet Russian favorite aircraft, and Nemo needs to go do some homework.
That was a good question, man.
I will do that. It is a good
discussion
question
there.
Yep. Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it. All right. We got a couple other emails. We got one from Robbie Knoffs and Brandon Walters, and they were just talking about good conversation back and forth about sort of the real world events and their thoughts on buying Russian stuff and whether you should or you shouldn't. And, you know, again, guys, I appreciate you writing in. You know, it's great that our topic that we had provided some thought provoking discussions. And so it's definitely great to hear your input and appreciate you guys writing in. And the last, mailbag was full this week, last couple of weeks. We got one from Jeff Keenan. Again, Jeff, thanks for writing in. Appreciate your thoughts about how do you define fun, you know? And again, we had a good discussion with Gabe a while back talking about, you know, the hobby and is it quote fun or not? You know, that's, I think for the most part, it's fun when it's done, and certain parts for each of us, you know, I think are fun, you know? So yeah, it's definitely, to each his own, you know, certain aspects of the hobby. Like I know we always laugh where there's certain, like, Whitey really likes the decal, aspect where I freaking can't stand it. Although now that there's great decal companies out there, I'm actually enjoying the decal process because it's a no brainer. It's kind of fun. And that's where the aircraft really comes to life. So maybe I've turned a corner here. So anyway, but, I think that, for the most part, I think that, you know, quote, fun is, it's just open to interpretation. And then again, I thought we all struggle with nobody. I don't know anybody that likes anybody here. Like ordnance, putting ordnance together and painting ordnance. That just doesn't sound fun. So
no, Jeff,
I should put you in touch with, one of our buddies. I should put you in touch with Jerry, who really, really loves ordnance. So
there you go.
He's a
good go-to for gouge on ordnance.
He is. Yeah. But I agree. It's, man, that's that we probably could do a show on ordnance, but since
we discussed that before. Remember, we said got to build all the ordnance first, get all that boring BS out of the way, fiddly stuff.
I think all of us, the ordnance is not our favorite. So I
definitely not my favorite. But I do find that I'll plan out a load ahead of time now, just so I can get ahead of it.
Yeah. I think that just like with anything, it's do the research, look for pictures and books, and the internet is such a great resource to see, if I'm going to really model a whatever type of bomb or missile that I'm going to do. I mean, I want to have a good reference picture, so that I can get pretty close to the shades and the colors and whether the stripes on the, on the bomb, whether they're, inert rounds, whether they're blue, what color is the blue? And then yellow is pretty much yellow, but, some of the browns on some of the missiles, just do your research I think that would be my recommendation, is just do your homework, get some good reference materials, use the internet, and just have those handy whenever you're trying to paint your ordnance. All right. So Jeff, thanks, man. Appreciate the email. Well, that's going to do it for the old mail call, which was heavy. So again, I just want to thank everybody for writing in. They're always most of the emails that we get are very, they're humbling, and we appreciate everybody listening and writing in, and we'll do our best. If we don't get to you, and there's a delay, apologies for that, but we'll certainly try to get back to you and answer your questions. And of course, we always like to mention you here on the show. You can always drop us a line at contact@modelgeekspodcast.com. You can write us on our Facebook page. But again, whether it's a question, show suggestion, whatever it is, just again, appreciate you guys dropping us a line. So thanks.
Hey, one of the emails in there was from Robbie Knopfs.
Yeah.
And he writes in often and comments with on Facebook a lot. He's Model Guy is his site on Facebook.
Okay.
And I just want to, he's working on a tracker as well.
He is. Yeah.
Have to do more Canadian shots again, saying the tracker word. But he's finishing up a Canadian track. It looks really cool, man.
Cool. I haven't seen it.
I told him about the magnets in the nose wheel because he was like, man, I put all this weight. And I was like, yeah, I just put magnets.
Yeah. It's coming along nice, Robbie.
Cool.
I'll have to think about that when I build mine. Well, I'm going to tackle the weight thing. I don't like the idea of magnets. Then it has to be in one spot all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out okay.
And I assume there's just not enough room up in the nose.
No, it's not, man.
That thing's already leaning to the, leaning aft. Yeah. So you really got to pack it in there, man.
Yeah. And you need something solid, like lead weights.
You need
not like liquid gravity or something.
Because I used the demold nacelle correction, I even dremeled out the nacelles to free up some room forward of the landing gear, the main mount, so that I could put that, Dave Fuller from the club brought in some lead weight that he had, like buckshot and stuff that his company had. They were giving it away.
Didn't work.
And I even filled that sucker with that, and it still was a tail sitter.
Oh man, that's I tell you, like with the SU-27, when I put it down, on the gear, and it sat there, but then I was like barely bumped the table, I saw the front wheel come off the ground. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So pulled out the old X-Acto blade, drilled the nose, and we all know what happened. Anyway, but that's pilot error. That's on me.
Ooh, pilot error. All right.
Yeah. anyway, so again, thanks to everybody for writing in. Really appreciate it. And keep the email coming. Thanks. All right. Well, guys, it's time for the main event. It's time for the main topic.
The main event.
The main event.
That's we're about the main event.
It's the main event talking about the main event. Main event. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure you guys are freaking excited because it's like it's going to be like Christmas for 4 or 5 days. It's just I'm already starting to get kind of giddy, you know? And why is that? Because we're going to freaking Nats.
That's right.
In Omaha. I've never been there, but I'm sure it's going to be fun. You never have? Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I've never been to Omaha either.
Well, I've flown over.
We're going.
I hear the steaks are good.
Been there a couple of times, but I really only ever saw the inside of the alert facility.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. And the alert line.
Well, what we'd like to do for everybody is just kind of, we're going to go pretty in depth, just all about Nats. Like, what models are we bringing this time? How do we transport them? You know, how do you care for them? How do you like to display them? And then some do's and don'ts for Nats, whether it's in the vendors area or the actual display area. And then we'll touch a little bit on, you know, some things like awards and I don't want to spend a huge amount of time, but we're going to talk about judging and why I think it's important to volunteer and judge at a show. It's just a great experience. And then we'll just wrap everything up, summarize kind of some stuff we've talked about, and then call it a night. But anyway, starting off first, so Nats in Omaha, Nebraska. And what are you guys bringing? So, Darren, I'll start with you first. You're driving.
I am driving.
What you bringing?
I'm only bringing the A4.
And most importantly, do you have room for any of our stuff?
That's a good question. And actually, this time I have to say, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends.
On what we drive and who goes. So, first question, what am I taking? The only thing I'm taking is the A4 for the group build entry.
Gotcha.
So,
okay, cool.
That's
he,
all.
He cleaned up last year, so I mean, I come on.
So he's like, I don't need to
He's going to give the rest of us a break.
No. Not at all. The reason why is because I've been lazy. So that's the reason why nothing's going. And to be honest, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 5 things that I could have taken if I wasn't lazy, you know, so because I just got this queue built up. But, you know, I'll say lazy, man. Work, new job, everything else. Man. It's really got me busy.
I feel you, brother. Well, cool. Well, I think we'll all be excited to see the A4 and hopefully you can get her done.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get her done. Then cool. The second question, as far as space goes, yes, I am driving and I am carpooling with El Presidente.
Cool.
Up there. So I think last talk, he and I need to get together and discuss, but the last meeting, I think he was saying he might take his truck.
Oh.
So if we take the truck, we have the area behind the seat there.
Yeah.
I don't know how much room we'd have with luggage. I think the luggage could go under the tonneau cover, but anyway, I don't know, man.
Cool, man. Just asking for a friend.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Whitey, what you bringing, man?
All right. I'm a A4 group build thing and also the Sherman tank for the group, for the Triple P's group. And then so for myself, and really it comes down to, you know, I'm space limited flying on an airplane.
Yeah.
Size of the box I have.
Yeah.
So the Harrier is what I'm going to take. I finished up that Harrier this past year.
Cool.
And what do you call it? Jim Bates from out there at he's buddies with the Triple P, does the scale canning TV. He's the guy who hooked me up with that. So I figured, cool, he'll be out there. He'll be able to see it completed and stuff like that, man. Too. That's kind of another reason I'm taking it.
That's awesome. And it's not huge, so it's not going to take up a ton of space.
Exactly. I haven't done a test run yet on the packing, but I think an A4, a Harrier, and a Sherman should fit in that box.
Oh yeah, man.
Pretty easily. I mean, I'd love to take the S3 and the Cobra and the F-117 and I would the Tornado. I would love to, like, if it was a local show and I was driving, I would do a group like, what do you call it? Not a group at what are those collections?
Yeah,
I would like to do a Desert Storm collection display, you know. And if it was somewhere where I was driving and I could take all five of the Desert Storm subjects, I would do that. Yeah. But unfortunately, I can't. You know, that airplane guys won't let me.
Yeah, have to buy more seats.
Yeah.
All right, man. Cool. Well, we're all flying together, so we'll make room and we can watch each other's stuff. So cool. For real. What you bringing, man?
I'm just bringing three. I'm bringing my Sherman.
Just three?
That's 40. Two of them are, well, I got the same container I used when we went to Texas a couple years ago. And last year when we went to Vegas, I had that same container.
Cool.
And it fits underneath. If I had to put underneath the seat, it will fit there. If it goes, it has to go in the overhead. And I did look. We are flying out on a 737-700. And if they don't change it, the overhead bins are flat on the bottom.
Oh. They'll change it.
And I've already got my stuff packed. It's sitting over here on top of my little mini fridge.
Holy crap. Already packed?
And, yeah, man. Because I didn't want to be dealing with this crap the night before or something. I wanted it all packed. I know everything is good. I put it in there. I got them padded good with foam.
Sweet.
I got the tracker, the A4, and the Sherman. And it's ready to go. I'm just filling out forms now.
Man, good to go. Cool, man. I'm going to bring the Tamiya, the 48 scale F4B, and then the A4, monogram A4 for the old group build. And that's what I'm going to be bringing. That's it. Cool. And I think, you know, we've talked before, we went pretty in depth in transporting. You know, for me, I like to use go to the container store and that's the, you know, and get, because you can buy so many different types of containers. You know, it's just basically a Tupperware container. I just like the container store because they have lots of different sizes. And then I just, you know, put probably about a quarter inch of padding in the bottom, and that's so that I can use hot glue and glue in little strategically placed little pieces of padding that I get at, you know, Joann's, so that the model doesn't sit on its gear or its pylons. I try to get it so it's resting on the bulkiest part of either the nose or the aft fuselage, where it kind of, like, it's tight, so it kind of fits in. And then the key I have found is just putting a piece of padding on the lid so that it just barely touches down on the top part of the aircraft, so that if and when it has to move or it shakes or whatever, it's not going anywhere. So for me, that's how I like to transport stuff. I used to make these real elaborate padded boxes and have everything cut out for every, you know, nook and cranny and antenna. And yeah, that is just too much work. So I quit doing that. And anyway, but how about anybody have anything different that they like to do as far as, I think we all kind of transport ours all the same way.
The only thing I say different is, like, I even made pads, foam pads to go on the top of the lid, even for the tracker. And that was why I wanted to get ahead of the game now, so I could take my time, get everything measured, get it cut, how it was going to fit around that. And I even went, and when I put the tracker on the bottom foam piece, I marked where the main mounts were, and I cut it out and put a thinner piece of foam underneath it that was hot glued to the bottom. So, like you, the main mounts are not sitting on the, you know, it's not sitting on its gear, and something was to happen, if it was to move or something, then that foam is down there to kind of cradle it, if it were to. So I kind of dug out the spot where the wheels go. So
yeah, the key is to when you're creating these transportation, like these carrying cases or whatever, is to have the least amount of the model touching the padding. Because if you have the more padding you have, even though it's soft, it's still, it can break off a pylon or an antenna or a gear pretty quick, especially a gear door.
It's an abrasive as well, you know, so the vibrations back and forth, they'll screw up your paint.
Yep. So I try to the least amount of padding touching the model. So I try to pick those real, specific areas like on the nose and then on the aft, usually the aft end somewhere on the fuselage. And that's all that is touching the padding. Everything else is kind of free floating. But anyway,
yeah, talking about what Darren just said, Frill and I rode together to South Carolina for that Nats, and I had the DC-130 with me, and I got a wear spot on the forward fuselage from the foam padding rubbing on it, and I had to George Canara from Tamiya went over to the Tamiya table. He had that new paint, the LP stuff, just come out, and I was like, all right, what matches my gray, brother? And he let me use his right there at the display table. Let me use the airbrush. And
speaking of George, man, I think he's going to be at Nats. It'll be great to see him.
Yeah, man. I hope so.
He said he was going to come up. He was going to come up for a day. I think he's going to be able to make it up. So
cool, good deal. All right. I mean, it's not real hard. It's just after 40 years of building models and making cases for them, I found out what works and what doesn't work, you know, and dry cleaning bags and towels. And for some people they work, but then I see them sitting over at the little table gluing their stuff together.
Yeah. I don't want to be doing any repairs on the road.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So, you know, transporting models, not, again, it's just, you know, the least amount of padding touching the model, that's the way to go, you know. And if you can arrange it so that they're covered. So if, you know, cause it started, I've seen guys where they're bringing their models in, they don't have a cover and it starts to rain. So yeah, just, think about all that stuff before you try to transport them. So how do you guys, so whenever you get to, so we get to Nats, get all registered, you know, bring in all of our stuff, you know, we all try to hold the doors, and they've been pretty good about it. They got folks that are waiting there and they'll open the doors for you, and we'll just bring it all in and set it up and usually have somebody, hey man, can you watch stuff? And so we'll have the one guy that will watch our stuff, me filling out forms or whatever. But I try to get all our models in and get the forms filled out, get everything filled out. Go ahead and make sure get registered or go pick up your registration if you pre-registered. And then before I go take all my models out to the tables, I just scout it out. I look and see what categories I'm entering, go kind of check the area out, get an idea of where my model's going to be. And then once I have an idea of where the models are going to be displayed, then I go ahead and go back and get the models and come out and start to place them. I even put the piece of paper down just in the spot, you know, that I think, you know, which table I'm supposed to be at. Then I'll come out and we'll just put our Tupperware containers, just, you know, put them right under the tables right there at Nats. Don't have to take them back to the room or back to the car. I just, boom, put them right under the table. They let you do that. And it seems like that's what everybody does. And no harm, no foul. Nobody ever, everybody, that's kind of expected, and that's what I recommend. Just don't worry about bringing out your Tupperware container. So once you get your model out there, I know for me, I definitely like a base. I don't like to put the models out without a base, mainly just because for protection, to help the, if they're going to move it or they're going to want to spin it around, that they don't have to touch the model. So that's the whole reason why I do bases. And me personally, I like mirrors, so that people can see the work that I put in underneath. And again, so they don't have to touch it. But, and then I'll usually have I'll have a little plaque made, you know, an engraved little plaque that, you know, just a quick little line or two about what the model is and just some information. So how do you guys, what do you guys like? So Darren, I'll just kind of start with you first. How do you like to display your models?
Like you, Nemo, mirrors. I don't like people picking my shit up.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Adam Ding will pick it up and
and I've seen, God, what was that last show where we saw, you know, the guy with the great gator grip pick stuff up and was moving it around. You know, he was just picking up kits and slinging them around. I hate that.
Was it Fairfax? I think it was Fairfax, the Fairfax show.
Yeah. Anyway.
Grabbing stuff and just, moving it like it's a piece of silly putty or something.
Yeah. So on a mirror, I would like now, and when I say it depends, because if the bottom of my airplane looks like shit, I'm probably going to put it on a different base. But and hope they don't pick it up. But I'm kidding, obviously. But so I've kind of moved from mirrors. I've gone over to solid bases because I like the stuff that Basis by Bill's putting out there. Those like the Stars of Bar I got here recently. They're just cool. It's just a little added something.
Yep. Basis by Bill. I have his card. I have his brochure. I've got to have something made because it's just they're so amazing.
They're cool.
And they're very reasonably priced. So
extremely. And he's the nicest guy on the face.
Absolutely.
Of the planet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you guys don't know who we're talking about, I think he's going to be at Nats.
Absolutely is. Yep.
He is just him and his. I think it was his son was helping him when we met. In Vegas, and man, just a great group of people. And Darren, you bought some of his bases, and they are unreal.
Yeah,
unreal.
They're really cool. They're really cool. So, hope maybe we can get him on the in an interview while we're out there at Nat. Sit down and
talk
a little bit. He's just a super dude.
Yep.
But so I've kind of moved over into those bases. And one thing I want to add about bases, if folks are entering. And they're putting their stuff on, especially one that's fairly slick, a base.
Yes.
Make sure you're putting on your form that your kit is not attached to the base. It's just added information form, so nothing gets slung off a damn table.
Yep. Cool. Whitey, how do you like to display them?
I'm a base guy too, but I don't like mirrors for whatever reason. I don't know. I like to put my stuff on a... something simple, just something that looks like tarmac and maybe a figure. You know, I'll put I like doing a figure next to my stuff, just lens scale.
Sure, yeah.
And some of the cool figures that are just out here nowadays, those Aero Plus guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And a couple other manufacturers out there that make really cool resin figures now.
Yep.
So that's me, man. I'll put it on a base just with something, you know, that looks... resemble some sort of a tarmac and a figure and maybe a piece of GSE nearby or something like that.
Yeah.
Always kind of, you know, I don't want to get into the diorama range of things. You know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but, just something that displays it in a realistic setting. I think that just kind of looks cool.
Cool, man. Yeah. I've thought that the simple bases that you come up with the thing that I love about it doesn't detract from the model. And that's what I've seen some guys do is
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. They come up with these super elaborate bases and it's like, what are you trying to show off? You're trying to show off the base and hide flaws in your model, or are you trying to show off the model? And I always feel like the simpler, like just a nice tarmac, you know, a pilot figure. Yeah. You're showing off the model vice, you know, these crazy, you know, not in a diorama. That's totally different, but
I keep it simple. I mean, it takes me like, I buy those, trying to remember what the name of that board is that, you know, it's like a salt, it's a wood board. It's made for painting on made for
gesso
painting.
Board. Gesso.
Yeah.
Gesso stuff. Board.
And you can get them in, you know, 10 by 10 or 8 by 8 and even
different.
Scale wise, you know, it's got a rough texture to it. So you shoot some grays and whatever on the thing. It looks like tarmac, you know, it looks like cement.
That's cool, man.
You know, it's even, you know, if it's thick enough, you can even take a drill and drill some tie down deals in there. And, you know, you can do this stuff really quick, you know, a day, not even a day. I mean, a few hours you know, gray and maybe throw some, taxi lines down on it. You know, if that, you know, and I would, you know, nowadays you can get online and look at, you know, you can get pictures of what a tarmac looks like. You know?
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah.
You know, what's an aircraft parking spot look like and things like that. Yep. So, you know, and you can, you know, not go too crazy, but you can stain it up and weather it up a little bit for yourself too.
Yeah.
And, maybe get some of that, you know, railroad grass and make some.
I have that old, like, there's a couple of the pictures that I've had online, with the SU-27 is just, that's an old base that I made like 30 years ago just to like, take pictures of my models on. And I think it looks really cool. The SU-27 is so big. Like, I will probably make a base especially for it, not a mirror though. It's just so big that the mirror would just seem a little too, I've looked at it both ways and it just seems kind of small, you know, sure. And I don't want some huge, big mirror. So I think that's what I'm leaning towards on the next one. Cause I think it looks cool.
That gesso board too. You can, you take a steel rule and a scriber can do your tarmac, you have your
lines.
You can describe the lines right into it.
Wow.
And then follow that with, a pencil or a black mark or something to make it look like the tar that goes in between them.
Yeah.
Awesome. Real easy to do, man.
Cool. Where's your favorite place to buy the board?
Just get them like Michael's or Hobby Lobby. Okay. Got that stuff.
Cool.
Cheap. Cool, I mean, you get this stuff $6 or $8 for them.
Free.
Michael's had a bunch of them for sale a few months back. Like, I don't know, they were getting rid of a bunch of them, and they had like packs of three for like $10, man.
Holy
they were like
goodness.
8x8 or something like that size. So it's, perfect size for a 48 scale airplane, man.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Cool. All right. For real, how about you, man? I think you're a bass guy as well. Both mirror and like a scene kind of thing.
I did mirror one time for the KI-84. And after that, I kind of went away from mirrors, and I just like I used to use bases.
Cool.
And like him, I got the gesso board from Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
And he's right. It's got texture on it. And so you draw, scribe your lines and paint it. And you got like an instant tarmac.
Sweet. Know? Awesome, man. Yeah. I'm going to have to make a trip to Hobby Lobby tomorrow.
Yep. And another good thing that kind of like what I'm doing to Sherman is those, you can go to Michael's too or Hobby Lobby, and they have those, I guess they're for like plaques.
Yeah.
Little wooden plank, like ovals or
squares
with the funny ends on them.
Sure.
And I just take those and I have a rattle can up here of like some kind of black.
Yeah.
Black, flat black spray paint or whatever for wood. And I just spray them black. And then I have a clear. I just bought a cheap clear from over there too, in a rattle can that.
Cool, man.
I just spray over them, and that's what I'm doing for the Sherman.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen all the bases that you guys have made before. They're very tasteful. I think they bring out they accentuate the model, vice detract from it, and I think that's the way to go. And me, I always like to put my stuff on a mirror, but that's again, it's just so that. Number one, and I put the mirror in the frame so that when people grab it and they have to move it, then I don't have to worry about them touching the model, and then I don't have to worry about them picking it up because you can see underneath it. So, I like the mirror thing. It's something simple. I just have my little base plate that I make, a little engraved little plate, and call it a day. But the whole point is bases are great. Not only does it help set off the model, but keeps, if they have to move it, then it keeps people from putting their grubby hands all over it. So cool. So once we got we've checked in, we got our paperwork, we got our model sitting on the table, looking good, sizing up the competition, even though we're not really doing that. just kind of taking a look and see what's out, but it's Nats though, So we're like, oh man, what's out there, and who's going to be here? And oh man, our buddies come in, and oh, hey man, what's up? So then it's time to start looking. And the one thing, if you haven't been to a show before, especially Nats, just be mindful of when you're leaning over and looking at models, just be careful, even with your shirt. If you're leaning over to take a picture, which I take pictures, but I just zoom in. I try not to go over on top of the model. Cause I think it was it last year or year before? Anyway, some poor guys, either the trophy or the camera or whatever fell and like broke old boy.
Oh, yeah. Model. It was, like there, he had placed at NASA. I think it was the first place too. It was a, Sea Vixen.
Yeah.
And they were
right,
putting
it, dropped it,
and they were putting it out, next to it, and it fell over. And when it did, it just took the whole thing out.
Yeah, man, that was,
that's my biggest fear, is dropping my cameras, your phone, I guess, nowadays, right?
Yeah.
So I don't even bother like taking, there's going to be enough pictures out there on the internet. Why do I need to take pictures? So I don't even mess.
and I'll take very few, but I, again, I stand back and I'm very mindful of what I'm doing, but I watch, like, even when I'm your little, you know, your little badge lanyard, that you have, your lanyard, like,
yeah, man.
Guys, like, yeah. just be careful, you know that stuff, it'll ding a freaking pedo tube real quick, or an antenna, or whatever.
Yep.
Canopy, gun, yeah.
You know, gun, yep, barrel or car.
Oh, last year.
Anything. Yep.
In Vegas, when they gave us the lanyards, I was like, oh, man, this is not going to end well. Because you're right. You know, you lean over just a little bit, and that thing swings forward.
Yep.
And you take, like, a pedo tube, like on the MiG-23, you know, that thing's, like, 2 inches long and 48 scale.
Buster
and
right
that
off.
Thing hook, and you don't notice it, and you, like, stand up because you see, you know, it's lunchtime or something.
Yep.
And you just rip the whole thing with you, too.
Yep.
And the other thing that
that'd be the
chaps
worst.
My ass is when people bump the fucking tables. You're up there and they're like bumping into them and everything. And you're like, dude, for the love of God, quit bumping into the table.
Yeah.
Because the tracker, it sits on that magnet and it's, you know, and if you bump it, it will pop up off the, you know, you can free it from the magnet and it will.
I know it's Friday night, but you know how many shots I've done so far now?
Hey, dude. But it's different though. The tracker's complete. It's not like, you know, I wasn't building it.
Another one. Our whole audience is going to be completely wasted. They're going to be like, man, those mild geeks are awesome, man. Woo!
But yeah, seeing people and they bump into the table and then they act like
you should work security at our show. You can be the guy that makes sure no one bumps into tables.
Walk around with a taser,
roll or like a megaphone.
Sir, step away from the model, sir. Sir, excuse me.
Sir. Just shout real loud. You.
Anyway, so the bottom line is: be careful, be respectful, and just watch your dangling cords, and your pen lights, and your phones, and your camera. Just be careful. That's all we're saying. Be careful. Be careful, folks. Be careful.
And your kids.
Oh my goodness, that's
that's
kids have no place at. I'm teasing, but yeah, I know. Hey, daddy, look at that one. I'm like, you know, but then, you know, the
that's
parents
why
are
you go for that aft section of the table. The
yes.
one, yep. You want to be inboard, man.
Yeah, you know, really? They can't touch it.
Well, it was like Hagen's B1 that he did, took it to one show.
Oh, that was Virginia
and he
Beach.
Had it packed up.
And they thought it was trash.
Messed it all up.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
They threw a bunch of, they thought it was garbage, so they threw a bunch of stuff on it and it broke it in half. Yeah,
that's why you haven't seen it since.
Wow.
Yep. Well, that's sad. Hagen, we're all shedding a little tear right now.
That sucks, man.
Sucks big time. I remember he was just, but you know, Hagen, he wasn't even, I would have been like, I don't know. If somebody did, I would be freaking out. Hagen was just like, well, it happens. You know, I'll try to fix it.
Oh, he is such a chill guy.
He is, man. He is. I wish I had that kind of, you know, mental strength. I don't. I'd freak out like a freaking 2-year-old throwing a tantrum. Anyway, be careful. Yo, stuff being around the tables. Just think about it. That's all. All right. So the next thing. So we got our models out there. We've already made a round, you know. Now this next topic that we want to talk about at Nats, this might actually be before we even register. So I'm just throwing it out. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, that's a map.
Yeah. So what I'm talking about is the vendor area. So I have seen
who's where.
Man, it's like, yeah, and you got to plan your attack, right? Like, okay, well, which side, who's going to go this way? And okay, let's we got to start off this way. All right, we want to make sure not skip anything. So, man, you got to plan it out. So have the map. So get your map out so you can find out where all the good stuff is and go hit them, man. And once you plan your attack and you start, you go in head first, man. I believe in a cursory walk. Just scout the area, scout out, making some mental notes. However,
gotta take a lap in the pattern.
Gotta take a lap in the pattern. If you see something that you cannot live without and you've been looking for, what do you do?
P the T.
P the freaking T. Because if you don't
hesitate,
it ain't gonna be there.
Don't you hesitate.
Ask me how I know.
On top of that, I would recommend before you even hit the road, have a list of items that you know you're looking for.
That will help you stay on budget too.
It saves time too if you know that decal sheet number. that you have, like, that you're, yeah, you know, that you're looking for, man. Because you roll up on someone with a stack of decals, and most guys keep them well organized, most of these vendors, you know. So, but man, if you have the number, especially if Eduard's there, they keep all their stuff numerically, you know, they're excellent about keeping, you know, because masking sets, for example, you could dig through yards of masking sets to try to find what you're looking for. And also, you know, nowadays too, you can whip out your phone and Google it. Hey, A4 masking set, Eduard, you know, what's the number? And then boom, you're right there. You can go search that area. But I always got a running list going of what I'm looking for when I get out there. And I'll deviate from that plan. Sure. Like, you know, that's what we always do. You know, plan's a good thing to deviate from. You know, the things I'm looking for, though, having a decal sheet number down, the aftermarket, you know, number for whatever you're looking for, it just makes it easy to find the stuff, man.
Well, and I mean, like, I think Frill and I, we probably, well, I know I do. I'm following like the lines and I'm making sure I'm not missing anything, but man, why did he, you just know how to find all the stuff. You'll be like, yeah, check this out. I found this old PP Aero parts, whatever. And I'm like, where the hell did you find that? And you're like, oh, over here. And you're just like the king of finding
those,
that Greg, stuff.
Those boxes, digging through boxes. Dusty old aftermarket is like the best stuff to dig through, man.
Man, you're the king at that. I don't have the patience for it. I'm like, I look, go like two looks. I'm like, whatever. And I move on. That's why I don't ever find any. I'm like, how'd you find that? You're like, it's digging through the box, you dumbass. I'm like, all right, fine. Cool. Well, make sure and plan your attack. Cursory look, lapping the pattern. If you see something you can't live without, pee the tea, get there early and stay late. That's how, and the vendor's area is just, I probably spend more time there than I do in the contest room. Cause it's maybe 50-50, but man, I just, the vendor area, when my feet start hurting, I'm still like, let's go another round. Good to go.
Anyway, comfortable shoes, man.
Those look like comfortable shoes. I've worn lots of shoes.
Those Dr. Scholl's.
Sorry, that was my
custom orthotics.
That was for Tim. He said, Forrest Gump needs to make trips to these model shows. Forrest Gump coming to the Model Geeks model show in comfortable shoes. And maybe I'll run into Jenny. Anyway, all right, moving on. Gump, go away. Awards. All right. Awards. So let's talk a little bit about awards. So awards are awesome. The Nats awards are, those are always fantastic. Every Nats that I've been to, the if we're lucky enough to win an award, I don't care whether it's a third or a bronze or a silver or gold, it doesn't matter. They're just always awesome. And but I think the biggest thing is, like, if it's your first show and you haven't entered anything before, don't worry about whether you win something or you don't win anything. Like, don't be afraid to enter something. Like, it's just enter something. And if you don't place, no worries, you know, it's no big deal. This is a huge learning experience. And I think that, you know, my first few Nats, even now, like, I ask a ton of questions. I go up to people and I just want to talk about models. Cause really, ultimately, that really is, I mean, the vendor's room is awesome. And the inspiration that you'll get from some of these builds is incredible, but it's really about the people, you know? So awards, my recommendation is, for especially first time guy, don't sweat awards. Don't even worry about it, you know? Just enjoy the show. And if you win something, great. And if you don't, then, you know, no worries. You know, and Nats is tough. It's tough to win an award at Nats. So anyway, what do you guys, what's your thoughts on awards?
Oh, I agree with you. I don't sweat awards at all. I put my stuff on the table. I'm there to just look at everybody else's work. You know, you say learning experience, but that's me. I how'd you do this? How'd you do that?
Yeah.
You know, because yeah, you don't learn if you don't ask questions, and you know. So awards, nope. But the knowledge, you know, base that's walking around there, yep. So
cool, man. Yeah, I think like I said, I think it's, you know, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. And, you know, just, you know, award, the time will come, if you're working hard and you're enjoying putting your models together, and you know, I learned a lot from Nats, and every time I'm able to lucky enough to win something, it's just it's a humbling experience. So all right, so sort of the next aspect is kind of related a little bit to awards, but I want to talk about judging and why I think that everybody should at least try and judge at Nats. And if you haven't judged before, that's okay. They'll put you as OJT and you can go in and you can learn. And it's not about, you know, I mean, it's important to, if you're going to, you know, you want to improve, then that's why I think judging is so great. And I mean, I would hope that most modelers, you know, want to, I mean, me, I've been building for 40 something years. I still always want to improve. I can't wait to go to Nats and be able to look at other people's work. And I think the judging kind of plays into that, where it's, you really, every time I judge, I learn something. And it helps build my modeling toolbox, because it gives me a different viewpoint than maybe I didn't have before. And especially some of the modelers that I've been able to judge with, I mean, they're just incredible. And so I'm soaking in all of this knowledge, and it helps me build better models without a whole lot of effort. And I think that, you know, I just think it's really important, to be out there and to support the judges, because they never have enough judges. And don't worry about if you haven't judged before. That's okay. I had a guy in my last group when we judged it at Nats. He had never judged before. And so I spent a lot of time and helped him out and worked with him. And that was more fun than the judging part, because he was really interested. And so again, the friendships that you build and the relationships that you build with people, you know, it's awesome. So anyway, my recommendation is to judge, because it's going to not only, it's a great experience, meet new people, kind of get you behind the scenes and see how model shows, kind of the meat of the model show. And then it'll help you build your modeling toolbox, so to speak. So I don't know, what do you guys feel about judging and Nats, and whether you should do it or not?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I dig that Friday night hanging out and not just the judging experience, but just the social aspect to it as well. Yeah. And again, the whole time you're doing it, you're learning stuff. Yeah, it's looking at other guys' stuff that closely, and it's judging, but you know, you're not scrutinizing people's stuff,
right?
You know, you're seeing what judges are looking for. That's what you learn out of it, right?
Yeah.
So that just improves your modeling. You know, but for me, you're taking it seriously. You know, you don't want to shortchange anybody. But at the same time, it's an enjoyable experience too, you know?
I thought just it was.
For me, yeah. Anyhow, you know?
Yep, same absolutely. Thing. Yep. Awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, it's like I said, just if somebody was going to ask me, do you think I should judge at Nats? I've never judged before. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely do it. It's a great experience. It's really cool. It's not what you think. It's not, you know, every time I've judged, there's not a lot of infighting. There's not a lot of arguing. It's just, you know, looking at people's work and noticing stuff that you wouldn't maybe have noticed. And then, you know, again, getting some different insight from different people. So it's, anyway, I just highly recommend it. Most people don't judge, and that's okay. But if you've thought about it, then my recommendation is definitely go do it. Be good times. And how do you judge? You just ask, hey, where's the head judge? And, you know, go talk to them, and they'll put you in touch with the judging teams, and they'll find a spot for you. Yeah. So highly recommend it.
They're always going to need people. So
always. Yep. Yep. Cool. All right. This one's kind of a next little topic about Nats. So we've been walking around for a few days. We're broke now because, you know, we've been spending all of our dough we've been checking out all the models and the awards, the ceremonies getting ready to happen. And so there's always the banquet. Sometimes they have the banquet. Sometimes they don't have the banquet. Well, I like to go to the banquet because you get a seat for the awards show. And if you don't go to the banquet, normally you're standing in the back or standing out in the aisle and you don't really get to see what's going on and you don't get to see the awards. So my recommendation is always, always, always buy tickets and go to the banquet. Even if you don't want to eat the food, go to the banquet. And I think was it last year at Nats? They had a banquet, but it was literally just an awards banquet. There wasn't food. It was just, you know.
It wasn't a sit down
social or something.
Yeah, they had drinks. But then they did it good because they had tables. So if you had like a group of buddies or whatever like that, you could sit at a table. But then also they had in the back section of the auditorium, just rows of seating, you know, so there's plenty of seating for everybody for that one.
Yeah. I thought how they did it at Nats last year, that was a great show.
Yeah.
They really did well.
I think if you bought a ticket for the social, that got you to the tables. Those were for the ticketed people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody else just walking in sat in the back.
Cause I think we were allowed to go in a little earlier, I think. And so that's where we ended up, you know, being able to get the big table where we all sat at, which was, it was a lot of fun. Cause you know, when they show the model up on the screen, you know, or we have to give the proverbial, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, one of these days we're going to do that out loud. Cause I think it would be fun. I just don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It sure would be funny though. It would be good. It'd be good. If Frill ever wins, best tail hook, we'll expect a yeah, 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 yeah.
That probably won't happen.
No, because I got to have a tail hook, and I don't know if I have another.
That's Mosquito Con that does that. Nats doesn't do a separate tail hook award.
No, they just do best Navy Marine Corps attack and best Skyhawk.
The Wizard White Award.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to get that some year. Watch.
No, you're not.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Nothing here to see, folks. It's all good. We're all happy, one big happy family here.
And I know, too, the first Nats that Whitey and I went to, the 08 Nats, we went to the banquet. And Whitey, refresh my memory, who did we sit next to?
Oh, it was Grand Poopa.
Alex Pappas. Yeah.
Yeah, Arias Pappas, and what's the other guy's name? He just retired from his MC duties.
Those guys
we were laughing our asses off the entire time. It was a good time.
Good time.
That's, again, there's a central theme here about having fun and just having such a great time. So that's why I'm like, man, I can't believe we got another Nats coming up. I'm so excited. It'll be good.
Well, throw in the the guys from the other podcasts too that we're gonna be hanging with.
Yeah.
You know?
It's gonna be nuts. It's gonna be crazy.
Camaraderie.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
One of the biggest parts of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And bottom line is I hear Omaha does it up great. So
that's what I've heard that too. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a blast. I'm absolutely beyond looking forward to it. You know, it's been rough at work for the last year, so I'm ready for some.
And you're not dragging the wife along. You don't have her nagging.
I'm not dragging her along. Although I don't ever have to drag. That's a thing, you know. No,
I know she's cool with the Nats, man. She's actually kind of bummed that she's not going.
Yep. She's bummed that she's not going, but
my wife wouldn't go in a million years. She was going to go to the San Antonio, the San Marcos one because she digs Austin. So she was like, okay, we'll get a place on 6th Street and, you know, the daughter was going to come and I think they'll probably still, I think they may still do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, cause she'll go there you know, check out the music scene and all that kind of shit.
That's going to be nuts, man.
Well, I nerd out with you guys.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. We're going to have we're renting that house on the river in New Brunswick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Cool.
Yes, anyway. Sir.
Okay. Focus. So we've checked the vendors rooms. We've checked models. We judged a little bit, just had the awards. Banquet's good to go. I mean, you know, it is super awesome. To sum up, I mean, somebody had asked me once, they're like, oh, you know, is Nats even worth going to? And, you know, of course, the answer is a resounding absolutely yes. I mean, you know, it's the best model show for 4 days that you could ever go to. Now, I know there's other shows throughout the world, but man, I just, the way Nats is done, it's just very professionally organized and it's just such a good time. And for me, it's absolutely the best modeling experience I could ever have. And every Nats that we go to gets better and better and better and more fun and more enjoyable. And I think just like we talked about, you know, awards are great, you know, seeing other models, it's great. Judging is always a great experience, but this all boils down to the people that you get to meet, the conversations that you have and the friendships that are made. And that is why Nats is Nats. And I don't know what you guys feel about it, but for me, that's what I'm looking probably the most forward to, hanging out with the other podcast guys, doing some demos, meeting new people like that, and seeing old friends again. That's what really I'm looking forward to, is seeing the folks. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm not staying out 3 a.m. drinking beers or nothing though this time.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you guys, you're not getting me to stay out that late either. They're like, gonna come in and I'm gonna hopefully. Do I have a lock on my door?
Nope.
No. Well, I don't know.
If I got a chair in there, then I got a lock. So, you guys will probably freaking rappel in through the freaking balcony or something, and
we've been known to have a good time at least one night.
Yeah,
at least one night.
Cool. Well, hey, so just kind of trying to wrap it up. I think we're all excited about Nats. So I'll just kind of go around the horn. Darren, you got any final thoughts on the upcoming Nats?
I go back to the judging and volunteering. I know that they were reaching out looking for volunteers for doing some security stuff and helping out around the venue. So I would encourage folks to volunteer if they can. And like I said, come by and see us. We got our booth. We're going to be sitting out there just outside the main hall. We got a table close to Gordon and Sprue Brothers. So stop by, say hello. Love talking to folks.
Yep, you bet, Darren. Whitey, any parting thoughts?
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the Night at the Sack Museum, actually. That's going to be a good time. Hanging out in there with a bunch of model nerds. That'll be great. Hopefully I can climb my ass up into a B-36 and check out the FE station. That's my goal. I want to get into that B-36.
Cool.
So if I can pull that off, I'll be a happy camper.
Good deal, man. Cool. For real. Parting thoughts.
You know, one of the cool things about the Nats too is when you check in, you get a bag and they'll have like stuff on the local area, whatever. And then it has like your convention pin, which I think is kind of cool. So you get your convention pin, which I've, you know, since the ones we've been going to, I've got them up here on my wall and they look cool, but also the Nats decal sheet that they give you.
Oh yeah.
And so that's always, you know, interesting subjects. And I don't think I haven't used any of them yet. So I still have them all that I've went to. But just getting that decal sheet and the convention pin is kind of cool.
That's a special award that they do as well. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
There were a couple of decal sheets that that I've had that, man, they are cool. They got some pretty cool designs. And maybe one of these days I'll have to, you know, break the and they're nice too. I think the last couple of sheets have been like Cartograph or whoever. So, yeah, man, cool. Well,
I forgot who did this year's.
Is it Afterburner? Not Afterburner.
Fightertown.
Either Fightertown or Bullseye.
Bullseye.
I think it's Bullseye. Bullseye.
Yeah,
Scott Brown and Bullseye. I think
it's Scott Brown, Bullseye, and Gordon. Yeah,
cool. All right, guys. Well, hey, you know, I hope you're still sticking with us, you know, kind of went in depth there about Nats. And the bottom line is, you know, if you're close by or it's even a day's drive, it's worth it. It's such a great time and we're all really looking forward to it. And I hope to see everybody there. Above all, you know, it's again, it's the listeners, it's the folks that write into us. I just can't thank everybody enough. I mean, all four of us, we all really appreciate people, you know, being so interested and listening to the show and participating. And, you know, our whether you're a Patreon member or just a casual listener, we are, you know, please come by and see us anytime you see us at a show, and continue to write in. And, we just thank you all for all the support. I don't think when we started this podcast of, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, however long it's been, that we thought that we would have the support that we do. So, again, I really appreciate everybody, taking care of us. You know, it's fantastic. All right. Well, fellas, that is going to put a wrap on the old, Nats episode 38. It's hard to believe 38 episodes, almost reaching 40, man. That's,
woo!
It's crazy.
Coming up on the 4-0.
Yeah, man.
Time flies.
Yeah. Yeah, but you, Whitey.
Who's got 4-0, me?
Yeah.
I have all the fours.
Boom, boom, yeah. Boom. Whitey and I are the even ones, and
and
Phil get the odd ones. Yeah.
Hey, let me give a shout out to IPMS Canada real quick. I got my latest shout issue out. Of the RT in the mail the other day. The Random Thoughts, their quarterly. Another fantastic job by those guys. In particular, Scott, this might be of interest to you.
Uh-oh.
Colin Kunkel. He's done a great job on a CF5A. 132 scale Hasegawa kit. You're familiar with that. Took the F5E and converted it to a CF5A.
And, great
work. Nice job.
And I'll have to come snag that from you and review
it. Yeah, man.
Give it back. But yeah, it's awesome.
Or join IPMS Canada.
Hey, there you go. I should. Hey. I got relatives in Canada. I should.
Become a dual citizen.
Yeah. Whatever, man. Take off, eh? Hoser. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for that. Another great issue from you folks up there in the Great White North.
Awesome. Yeah. And it is I've seen that publication before, Wayne, and you're not kidding, man. That's they do an awesome job. Yeah. So awesome. Cool. All right, guys. Well, wrapping it up. I hope everybody out there is enjoying listening to us. I know that we have a really good time sitting together, shooting the shit, and talking about the hobby, talking about models. You know, it's a lot of fun, and we really enjoy it. And above all, we do this because of you and because of the listeners. So again, thank you so much for making us part of your valuable bench time. I know that. If you're like Darren, myself, Whitey, and Frill, the bench time is sometimes it's rare, but we do everything we can to get on it, and we appreciate you guys listening to us. Hope you can join us for our next podcast, but for now, be excellent to each other, and by all means, get out there and build something, all right? So you guys take care. Out from the geeks.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. We'll see you guys in Omaha.
See you next week. Stop by the booth. Later, all.